Okay, so our theme for this year, if you want to throw that slide up there, actually, let's throw the theme up first. Yeah, I apologize if I didn't have that in the right order. Our theme for this year has been reality, spirit, and identity. I haven't put the slide up in a while, but I wanted to today because today's message is really going to encapsulate all three of these in one. We've been talking about reality, and that's in the Greek, that's the word for truth. It's the most common understanding for the word of truth at the time when the Bible was penned during, like, you know, your New Testament is in Greek, and so the word for truth is always reality. Spirit and identity, spirit meaning who you are in Christ, is also your identity. So what we're going to talk about today is actually going to encapsulate all three of these, and I'm believing that today you're going to have a fresh understanding of how saved you really are and how precious that is. You got the Christmas message from my dad last week, so there's no Christmas message today. But it is a Christmas message because it's all about Jesus. Amen? All right, so now you can go ahead and throw up the title slide. So today we're going to talk about the revelation of everything. You know, people talk about being a know-it-all. Once you hear today's message, you will be a know-it-all. It's the revelation of everything because we're going to talk about Jesus because we're going to see that in the scriptures, the Bible says that Jesus is everything. This is going to be towards the end, but the Bible says that Jesus fills the all in all. And how many of you know that all means all? But what I want you to be open to today is this doesn't work unless you believe it. We talk about this all the time. God has done his part. Jesus has done his part. But so when he said it is finished, it is done, that was it. Everything about the Christian life is just about receiving that, or excuse me, believing that and receiving that. So the scriptures that we're going to be talking about today is basically all of Colossians 1 and 2 and halfway through 3. Some of you are like, that's going to be like a two-hour message. No, 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 I just summed it up, okay? So we have little bullet points. But what I want you to receive today is understanding we're going to see who Jesus is and who you are in him and what you already have if you are a believer in Christ, if you have given your life to the Lord, what you already have past tense. It's so important to know that it's past tense and therefore also past tense, it's also present tense, but then it's also going to be future when Jesus comes. That's why God is outside of time. But when you gave your life to Jesus, you're going to see all the things that applied. Because we talk about forgiveness of sins, we talk about different things, but Colossians, which is Paul writing to the church in Colossae, he lists so many things about not just who Christ is, but what you have in him. And so I believe, again, most of you know, like, oh yeah, salvation, oh yeah, forgiveness of sins, there's so much more. And so today we're going to get the revelation that Jesus is everything. And if you can have the revelation of Jesus, then you have the revelation of everything because Jesus is everything. All right, let's jump right into this. Okay, again, I'm given the scripture references, but these are just kind of bullet points from Colossians 1, 2, and then part of 3, and then we're going to actually read a big chunk of 3 at the end. So again, this is Colossians 1, starting at 13. It says, he delivered us from the authority of darkness. This is important because I have been guilty of this, and I've heard other people say this, like, oh, you know what? The devil has been really getting the best of me this week. This says, he, past tense, delivered us from the authority of darkness. Remember when we talked about, I believe it was last, or it wasn't last week, my dad preached last week, but the week before, about the word authority is the word exousia, and it means total authority and power. When he says, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. When Jesus commissioned the 12 apostles, who then made disciples of other people, and it came all the way down 2,000 years later to us. And so in the same way that we have all power in heaven and on earth, Jesus has that, and we in Jesus have that. This says we have been delivered from the exousia of darkness. So I don't want to, well, let's put this into practice. Don't ever tell people the devil's getting the best of you this week. You have all the authority. You have been, past tense, delivered from the authority of darkness. If you believe the devil is getting after you this week, it's because you have knowingly or unknowingly given him authority that he doesn't have. You understand that this whole life is just deception from the enemy. It started in the garden, right? Did God say you couldn't eat of any of the trees of the garden? And they said, no, we can eat of any tree, just not that one, because in the day we eat of it, we'll die. And he says, you're not going to die. You're going to be like him. The devil has no authority because it says we've been delivered from the authority of darkness. It says he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. We're not in darkness. We're not in anything. We are in the kingdom of God. He transferred us, past tense, into the kingdom of his beloved son. The kingdom is here, right? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not coming in a way to be seen. And somebody's not going to say, look, it's over there, or here it is. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Because Jesus is within you, and he's the king. Jesus paid the ransom of sin and death. Jesus paid the price of sin and death so that you would not have sin and death. And we're going to unpack that part, because some of you are maybe thinking, well, I sinned this week. I know I sinned this week. So we're going to unpack that. But again, you got to remember it's a ransom. And it talks about in the Greek that a ransom is similar to the way that we use it today, that it's something that's paid to save us. We were under darkness. Jesus paid the ransom. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You will not ever know the Father without knowing Jesus. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, no one can come to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Every single thing, visible or invisible, in heaven or on earth, was created by him and through him. And in Jesus, everything is held together. Everything. Every single thing, visible and invisible, in heaven on earth, was created by him and through him. Do you see why he is everything? It says he is the head of the body, which is the church, and the beginning. It says that he is literally the beginning, because he is the firstborn among the dead. Now, he's also eternal in the sense that he is God, but this is specifically talking about he is the beginning for the believer. When he died on the cross and said, it is finished, and when he was raised from the dead, this is what it means that says he was the firstborn from the dead. He was the first person that died, and then when he rose from the dead, that is the hope of what we're looking for, is that he is the firstborn, the Bible says, from the dead, but he's also the firstborn amongst many brethren. If he did not die and he did not rise from the dead, then the Bible says we have no hope. If that isn't true, then we have no hope. There's no eternity, there's no heaven someday, but because Jesus was the first one to do it, he took all of the sin, he died, and then he rose again. That's what makes him the firstborn from the dead, because he died. And the Bible says that if you are in sin, you are dead in your trespasses. So if Jesus became alive and we died with him and we were raised with him, then that means we are now alive and we are dead to sin. And being dead to sin, that's something, again, we're going to unpack in a little bit. It says that it's the Father's good pleasure to have all the fullness dwell in him. Everybody say, all the fullness. In John chapter 1, I don't have the scripture up there, it says, you know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. And, later in chapter 1, it says, of his fullness we have all received. If you are full, then you cannot be lacking. Everything in heaven and earth was reconciled to the Father through Jesus' bodily death. You have been reconciled. You have been made right with the Father. When David, it says in the Psalms, you've probably heard this one that I remember a long time ago when I was a kid, they made it into a song. But when David is in this very low place, now we don't pray this way because David didn't have what we have, amen? David was under the old covenant. And so even though David was a man after God's own heart, David did many wonderful things. How many of you know that the most wonderful people that we revere in the Bible many times had dark times? And so there's a time where David says, do not cast me away from your presence, O Lord. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now again, we don't pray that way today because God says he will never leave us nor forsake us in the new covenant. And then he says this phrase, and this is, again, what I want you to receive today. He says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Do you know that in the Bible, when it lists the fruit of the Spirit, and it says love and then joy, joy in the Greek means your constant awareness and delight in your salvation. Knowing that you are in Christ, knowing that you are saved. So all of the fullness, all of the salvation, all of the healing, all of anything and everything that is good and holy and righteous is all in Christ. And again, in John chapter 1, it says, of his fullness we have all received. It says, his blood on the cross gave us peace with God. God is not mad at you. God is not angry at you. I know that there are times, and this is what I'm talking about, is don't let the enemy come in and tell you something that if you're having a bad week or having a bad day or you're still waiting for your healing in this area or whatever the case may be, it's got nothing to do with God punishing you or being mad at you or anything. It says that his blood, Jesus' blood on the cross, gave us peace with God. Andrew Womack has a teaching called "The War Is Over," and it's not talking about the war and taking a stand and putting on the full armor of God to stand against the trickery of the enemy. It's talking about the war with God is over. Do you know that in the Old Testament that people were not right before God? They had to have the law to actually show us how not right we are before God, and so that we would see our need for Jesus. Let's go on. It says, through Christ's death, we are presented before God. Now, I want you to see these words, because if you are in Christ, this is you. You're holy. You're complete. That word can also be translated perfect or mature. You're holy, complete. You are pure. And look at this. You are free from accusation or charge. I didn't lose my train of thought. I'm just letting that sink in for a moment. Do you understand that I don't know if it's like you, but like when I read these verses, immediately my brain goes to things that I know that I did wrong. This says that I'm holy, complete, pure, and I'm free from accusation or charge. Here's the thing. That's why the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. Because we are free from accusation or charge, but he wants to stand and accuse us. One of these things that the Lord really put on my heart, and again, you can receive this, or maybe it's just for me, but he said, if you stand before me unaccused and without charge, what gives you the right to accuse or charge other people? How many of us accuse or charge people because of the way that, like, I was treated or a circumstance or a situation that's going on and going, and this is just human thing, right? Okay, I'll be the first to put my hand up. I won't ask you all to raise your hands. But we react in accusation or charge situationally, right? If someone does something or there's a situation or you're at Walmart, no, it doesn't matter what it is, but we react situationally and going, if this person is nice to me, then I don't have accusation or charge against them. But if this situation that's happening while I was in the line at the grocery store, or this situation happening, and then in my mind I begin to judge or accusation or charge. And if this is speaking to you, I'm not condemning you, because I think we've all been there. And what we need to do is remind ourselves, and this is the point of today's teaching, is remind yourselves, don't going, oh, I shouldn't have accused that person. Why did I do that? I don't have a right to do that. Instead of just going, do you enjoy your status before God standing unaccused and without charge? How many of you enjoy that position that you have with the Lord? So then it's just, if I recognize that I am in that position and I like that position, then perhaps I should extend that to other people. But what does our mind do? Well, yeah, you don't understand what my situation was. Do you think that you've ever done something that was offensive to God? That you might have missed the mark? And God is not accusing you. He's not judging you. And that's what the gospel is. It's not to beat yourself up when you miss the mark. It's just to go, wait, I need to reset and remind myself positionally how I am with the Father. And I like that position. And I don't deserve that position. And I've done a lot of things that have offended God that surely I should not be in that position, standing unaccused before him. Yet, because of Christ, I constantly and will forever stand unaccused before God. So towards the end of Colossians 1, it says, if these things apply to us, if we continue to believe the good news by faith until the end. Excuse me, let me say that again. All these things, meaning everything we just read, apply to us if we continue to believe the good news by faith until the end. Again, all the devil's job is to tell you everything that I just read about yourselves is untrue. Well, I know what I did, so I couldn't possibly be standing before God. I've got to apologize. I've got to, you ever heard people say this? I got to get right with God. Do you know if you are in Christ, you need to not try to get right with God. You are always right with God. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit because there are people that claim to be Christians that accuse other Christians of giving bad theology. People use terms like this. I'm going to give you some Christianese terms in the church that, you know, you may have heard before, or maybe it's just amongst pastors and teachers. But there's a term called, well, you might be preaching greasy grace. Or you might be a hyper grace preacher. You ever heard any of these terms before? And people accuse other people of being that. That means you are preaching grace to the point where you're telling people, hey, listen, it doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter how you treat other people. It doesn't matter how you act, because you are always standing in without accusation or charge before God. You're always in right standing with God. And if you preach that, then it will drive people to go and live in sin. Did you know that Paul was a hyper grace preacher? You know that Paul was a greasy grace preacher? Do you understand that two things can be true at the same time? But I don't know anybody that has the true revelation of this type of grace, which is Jesus' grace. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. I don't know. I'm sure there might be somebody like this out there I've never met, and I do not know anybody that takes this concept and then says, awesome, now I can go live however I want. If you get that revelation from this, it's the devil. If you get that revelation from this, then all you're doing is trying to use grace as your get out of hell free card to go and live in sin. People that truly have a revelation of grace, this changes your life. We say it here a lot, that you will start to live more righteous accidentally than you ever did before on purpose. Because when, it's like what David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Some of us need the joy of our salvation at this time of year restored. And I'm not saying it was taken from you. David was praying that because he was under a lesser covenant. All the new covenant is renewing your mind. You know the word repentance? It just means to change your mind. My whole job as a pastor here every single week is to remind you of who you are in Christ, remind you of the things that you have in Christ. That's it. And when you mess up, you don't have to get down on yourself. I was a poor representation of a Christian or anything like that. You just need to go take a step back and go, oh, I forgot about my standing. I forgot who I was. I forgot that I am going to inherit the universe. I forgot that the God who is outside of time and space, that he's my father and he loves me more than anything. It's like, you know, when I talk to my girls, and I would apply this to any young person, is there's peer pressure, right? And it's, we care what other people think. Who cares what other people think? And I know people say, well, yeah, that's nice, but we do care what other people think. And going, that's the human part of us. But if we were truly walking in the Spirit, why would you care what anybody thinks? Why would you care if somebody called you ugly? Because you know what? You're beautiful to God. And that's the greater reality. You know, what do you care if you know, this expectations of the world that has for you? God has no expectation for you, because expectation means he doesn't know what's going to happen. And God knows everything, so he has no expectation of you. He already knows. He's seen your whole life. Does this make sense? The mystery of God is Christ Jesus. This is what Colossians tells us. It tells us that Jesus is the mystery of God revealed. That's why we talked about the revelation of everything. If God is everything and he has this mystery that he wants revealed to us, and then he goes, boom, it's my son Jesus, and you have everything in him, this is the revelation of everything. The mystery of God is Christ Jesus. Also, Jesus is in us. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And remember, the word hope in the Greek is always the word expectation. So I summed it up by saying the mystery of God is Christ Jesus, also Jesus in us, which is our great expectation of glory. You can expect it to happen. Jesus is going to return. We're going to be caught up with him. I'm not talking about a pre-tribulation rapture. I'm saying when he comes, we will behold him. And it says that instantaneously we'll be caught up and come into the earth with him. You can expect it to happen, because it absolutely will happen. Now, whether we're here when that happens is yet to be determined. But our great expectation is glory. Here's another point. We are mature, complete, and perfect in Christ. I've said this in here, and I know you guys understand when I say it, because I know you feel the same way when we say, listen, I haven't arrived, but I've left, right? But in the spirit, you're already arrived. You're already mature. You're already complete, and you're already perfect in Christ. Again, this whole life is simply about understanding that that's who you are, and then once you have the revelation, you have repentance, you change your mind of going, I'm not a loser, I'm a winner, I'm not this, I am this in Christ, and then that begins to live out in your life. I think some of us would put our heads a little higher if we understand that we are mature, complete, and perfect. We're going to get rid of this phrase, well, nobody's perfect. Well, I am. Now, I think you need, if you're not in the presence of somebody that you're trying to tell them who you are in Christ, you need to say, in Christ, I am perfect. Everything is in Christ, which is why, if you are visiting with us, or if you're not visiting with us and you want to purchase this, is the book that we give away to new people who visit is called In Christ. In here is all the scriptures that talk about who you are in Christ. And it's not hyperbolic. Who you are in Christ is the greater reality than who you are in this earth. And the problem is we don't act like it because we are believing the lesser reality. Now again, does that mean that you're going to, in your flesh, live it out perfectly? No. But stop condemning yourself. Take a deep breath and go, oh, I just forgot who I was in Christ. Lord, thank you for reminding me who I am in you. Thank you for dying with me. Now I'm going to continue the rest of my day in that knowledge. All wisdom and all knowledge are treasures that have been hidden in Christ. If you think that you need more wisdom, search it out in Christ. If you think you need more knowledge, it's not get on your phone. It's know Christ. As we received Jesus, how many of you freely received Jesus? How many of you didn't, you know, have to gut it out and white knuckle it and go, I gotta receive Jesus? You just freely received it as a gift, right? As you have received Jesus, conduct your everyday life existence in him as an overflow of gratitude. We were talking about this when we met with our Watchman leadership. We had a meeting this week. And one of the things as we were praying, because I want you to know that the leadership here prays for you. It prays for the church. It prays for your families. But one of the things that we talked about that was brought up as the Spirit led is that we, many times as believers, do not have an attitude of gratitude. All of this stuff, if you are in Christ, has already taken place. So I think I would venture to say 90 to 95% of our prayer life should just be thanking Jesus for what he's already done. And do you know that when you thank Jesus for what he's already done, you're reminding yourself of who you are in Christ? So he says, as the same way you receive Jesus, conduct your life in that way. And again, it shouldn't be again going, I got to white knuckle it. I got to try not to sin today. Just freely flow in who you are. And again, you'll live right accidentally more than you ever did when you tried to do it on purpose. Because your life will change based on the understanding and the belief and the faith of who you are in Christ. That's the secret sauce. You know, I know one of my daughters was asking me the other day, like, a question about, well, how do I do this? And I'm like, well, this is what the Bible says. Yeah, I know, but how do I do it? And I felt like I was talking to my wife because she says the same thing to me. Well, you said this the other day. Yeah, this is what the Bible says. Yeah, I hear what the Bible says, but how do I do that? And many times we just need to say, let go. Stop trying to figure it out. Just understand who you are and walk on it, walk in it, and understand you're going to misstep from time to time. Don't think about that. Don't anticipate that. Don't already get yourself worked up because you think that that's probably going to happen today. Just constantly remind yourself of who Jesus is, because if you know who he is, that's who you are. In the spirit. You got to remember, in the spirit. We're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. In the spirit, this is who you are. That's the greater reality. Just let the dominant reality flow into the secondary reality, which is this. Because one day, all of this will be gone, and only the dominant reality will remain. And in this reality, there is an enemy that is looking to seek, kill, and destroy you. And he's mad because he has no authority to do it other than what he can trick you into giving him. The devil is a bug that you squash. He's not this towering enemy. But if you think that he is, then he's already begun to deceive you. Because remember, you've been translated out of the authority of darkness. He has no authority except what you give him by believing him. Okay, let's go on. In Jesus dwells the complete fullness of God in bodily form. Some of your versions would say, in Christ dwells all the fullness of deity, or all the fullness of the Godhead. In Christ is the fullness of God in bodily form. We already saw that he was the image of the invisible God. He is the head over all rule and authority. All rule and authority. He is the head over all rule and authority. And if you are in him, that means this applies to you. And we are made complete in him. Stop trying to get complete and just understand that you are complete. You should be really happy this year at Christmas knowing all this stuff about how awesome you are. And again, I know it's like, I know, I hear you, Pastor. I see it in the Word. I don't feel awesome. And of course, in love, what we say at this church is, who cares how you feel? Do not let your feelings lie to you about these truths. It doesn't matter if you feel good today or if you feel bad, you are complete in Christ. You are not standing accused before God. If we walked in this every day, we would be much happier Christians. As you know, I say to my kids, don't be a sad sack, be a happy meal. Okay, let's go on, or I'm never going to get through this stuff. This is interesting, the wording on this. We had a spiritual circumcision. Now, again, I'm not going to explain what that is in the natural. We're just going to go with the spiritual. We had a spiritual circumcision. This is the wording that Paul uses. Now I understand why Peter says in his writings that our brother Paul says some things that are really hard to understand. Because Paul knew things by the Spirit that today still just baffle people's minds. He says, we had a spiritual circumcision. Christ removed our body of flesh from us by burying us with him in baptism and raising us up in him. This happened by faith in God's ability to carry it out, meaning you have to believe this. It says that he removed our body of flesh. Now again, this is not metaphor, this is not hyperbolic, but you could say, well, I disagree with this statement because my flesh is right here. What he's saying is spiritually, he has separated you from your body, which is why he's not judging you based on what your body does. And again, people are like, that sounds like you're saying that we can go out and live however we want and it doesn't matter. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and if you have this revelation, that will not be your attitude. When we were dead, actually go back one slide. Are we good with this? I just want to make sure. We're good with this idea that your body is, he in Christ separated you from your body. That's why you can stand before him unaccused, even if you commit sin. Does this make sense? This is what grace is, right? Because if he judged you based on what you did, it's no longer grace. Now it's law. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. Grace is undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. Okay, now we can go on. When we were dead in sin and uncircumcised flesh, this is talking about who you were before Christ, God made us alive with Jesus, forgiving all. Everybody say all. All. Forgiving all sin. Well, what am I supposed to do when I sin? If I've already been forgiven of it, remind yourself that you've been forgiven of it so that you won't walk in it. Everything is a reminder of what you already have, so therefore walk in it, right? As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord and all the benefits that come with it, so walk in him is what the Bible says. And walk in him simply means conduct your life in that way. It says he nailed the law to the cross and disarmed every demonic rule and authority in triumphant victory. He disarmed every demonic rule and authority. So again, oh, the devil's been kicking me. Oh, you know what? I think I've been assigned a demon this week, and it's just really after me. If you believe that, you are releasing your authority and allowing and giving whatever's tormenting you that authority. It's a lie. All the devil has to get you to do is believe it. Just because your feelings may be out of whack doesn't mean you're under the torment of a demon. We don't respond with our feelings. We respond with the word of God. That is truth. Do you realize if we actually believed all of this stuff, again, our lives would be radically different. It wouldn't be drama. Now, the world can be drama, but we don't have to respond to the drama. We should just be living even keel. I don't know why we have to have these giant ups and downs. That's just all flesh problems. We just need to remind ourselves who we are. Let's go on. Okay, so those are all the highlights of Colossians 1 and 2. We're coming into Colossians 3. The first two verses I skipped over, but that's what it talks about. Keep your mind focused on things above, not on things below, because you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So then we come into this part. It says, we have died, and our new life is hidden with Christ in God. Everybody say, I have died. Isn't it funny that our flesh tries to remind us that we're still alive? You know, people will say, how do I act right? I'm like, well, how do I get out of this cycle that I am? Just die already. And please, if any of you are visiting and haven't heard the subject matter before, I'm not telling you to commit suicide. I'm saying die to self. It's not about me. And it's definitely not about you. It's not about any of us. It's about him. Yeah. Way to go, pastor's daughter. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. That's it. Well, what about my wants and needs? Well, who cares? You have to get over yourself. I have to get over myself. Because if we just, think about it. If you just died to yourself, I mean, really any self-interest whatsoever, you wouldn't care what people think about you. You wouldn't care what your boss thinks about you. You wouldn't care what your spouse thinks about you. Your spouse would think the world of you if you die to yourself, because now it's then all about them. Once you die to yourself, you can get busy about serving others. Do you know that there was no part of self in Jesus Christ? The very act of him coming on Christmas was a selfless act, because who wants to to void themselves of their divinity and godness to become a baby born in a manger in a stable with stinking animals, and I'm sure it was cold. You know, maybe it wasn't cold. I guess he wasn't born on Christmas if you didn't know that. I just ruined everyone's Christmas. Statistically, it shows that he was probably not born on December 25th. Side note. But what I'm saying is that, again, if it was just about Jesus and not about us, you would actually live a happier life. Because then you're not worried. What should I wear? What does everybody think about me? You know, what kind of fight am I going to get in at Christmas dinner this year over politics or things like that? You just have the joy of the Lord. Because what's happening right now is the Holy Spirit in your mind is restoring unto you and to me the joy of our salvation. So it says that our life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, see, you don't have a life. People tell you to get a life. I'm like, well, I don't have a life. My life is in Christ. Your life is not about you. Because this says, when Christ, who is our life, if he's our life, then we don't have a life. Does this make sense? I know this is getting a little deep. But if you don't walk in this, if you don't understand this, then you won't walk in it. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed. And that's talking about the second coming, because that's what the end of your Bible is called, the revelation. It's not just called Revelations. That's actually incorrect. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of Christ. So when Christ, who is our life, is revealed at the second coming, then we also, it says, will be revealed with him in glory. Right now, we look in the mirror, and I don't know, many of us don't like what we see. But guess what? When Jesus comes and we see for the first time, that's my life. That's who I am. It says instantaneously, we will be revealed with him in glory, which means the same glory that he gets at his second coming, we get to share in that, because that is our life. He is our life. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we also will be revealed with him in glory. Because right now, we don't have any kind of device that can see what we are in the spirit. Do you know what kind of mirror shows what you are in the spirit? The Word of God. This is what's revealing. This is telling you who you are in the spirit. Let's go to the next verse. So it says, again, therefore, in light of everything we know, Christ is our life. We're mature, we're complete, we're perfect. We stand unaccused. Look what he says. Therefore, put to death the members of your earthly body. That's talking about your flesh. We've been using the term dying to self. That's what this is talking about. Some of your Bibles say, therefore, consider. It's not the word consider. It's the word necrosate, where we get the word, which the root of that word is necros. Have you ever heard like of the word like necromancer? You know, like somebody who plays around with spirits and the dead. That's where that word comes from. So it means death. Therefore, put to death, necrosate, the members of your earthly body. And again, I'm not talking about suicide. I'm talking about you dying to self. That's Colossians 3:5. Let's go to the next verse. Okay, so this part you're going to have to follow along. So if you have your, because it's not up on the slides, it would be way too many slides. If you have your YouVersion app or you have your Bible, let's turn to Colossians. Oh, before we go there, go to Romans 6 with me. I forgot I wanted to highlight this part. The Lord gave me this morning. Let's go to Romans 6, starting at 11. Now, this word consider is actually there. In Colossians 3:5, it's not consider the members of your body. It's put to death the members of your body. This does, though, say in Romans 6:11, it says, even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. He says, therefore, in verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Now, where it says, even so consider, I just want to tell you what this means in the Greek. It's the word logizomai, which is where we get the word logic from. And it says, properly compute or take into account, or it could be the word reckon, which means come to a bottom line, reason to a logical conclusion. So what this is saying in Romans, Paul's talking about grace in the same way we're talking about in Colossians. And he's saying, therefore, consider, and that means come to a logical conclusion based on everything that we just learned. He says, therefore, consider, make sure I read it right, yourselves to be dead to sin. It's saying because you stand unaccused, because when God looks at you, he sees his son and he doesn't see your sin. Because of all of these things are true in the spirit, you need to believe that greater reality and apply that greater reality to this life of going, if you are truly dead to self and alive to Jesus, if you truly died with him at the cross, we're buried with him in baptism, and we're raised again, going, that is absolutely true in the spirit, so now live like it's true. Come to the logical conclusion, the bottom line, logizomai, come to the bottom line conclusion that since that is true, then I'm going to apply it here. I'm going to, again, my head's going to be a little higher knowing that my Father is God and the King of the universe is my brother Jesus, and I am a joint heir with him. It's saying, reckon all of those things that are true in the spirit and live like they're true. That's the whole Christian walk. It's just reminding ourselves who we are and what we have in Jesus, who Jesus is, that he is everything. He's the revelation of everything. And when we have a revelation that Jesus is everything, we have a revelation of everything, and we just simply walk in it. That's why most of Paul's letters start off going, do you know that you're this in Christ? Do you know that you have this in Christ? Do you know that in Christ this happened to you and you were born again? He always opens his letters with telling them and edifying them about who they are. And then about halfway through his letter, he goes, if this is true and you know it's true, why do you have divisions and factions? Why are you not waiting for one another when you're taking communion? Why are you not this? Why are you not that? And it's not Paul switching from edification to condemnation. He's saying, I don't understand. If you know this is true in the greater reality of the spirit, then why are you in this lesser reality doing these things that don't even make sense? Do you know that sin doesn't make sense? We think it makes sense because our body and our mind tells us that it makes sense, and we try to justify it somehow. I'm preaching to me. I'm not preaching to you. I want you to know that I'm including myself in all of this. But that's all it is Paul saying, I don't understand. If you know that reality, then why isn't it reality here? And you're like, well, that's because people are mean, and we're going to be persecuted, and this is happening. Yep, that's all true. And Jesus endured it and kept going. Well, he's God. Yes, but in Christ, you are mature, you are perfect, you are complete, and you have his fullness. Okay, I'll read through these quickly, and then actually, Christy, if you want to come up and play. So Colossians 3, starting at 5. And again, I'm just going to read through this. I'm not going to teach on it because, again, I just want you to hear what he says. Now, this is a therefore. So everything that you just heard me preach from Colossians 1 and 2, again, this is Paul writing to Colossae telling you everything and how awesome it is to be in Jesus Christ. And so now he's saying, therefore, because you have all this knowledge, we pick it up here in verse 5. Therefore, mortify, or that, remember it's that word, put to death, the earthly members of your body. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which all amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, past tense, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another anymore, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. You've put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge. There it is again, knowledge, knowing who you are. According to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, he's talking to you, you're holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against someone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And look what it ends with, and be thankful. So again, that is your response to your salvation, your response to your perfection, your response to your completeness, the response to a God, a Father that loves you and doesn't judge you and is not accusing you, a God who separated in by Jesus Christ, circumcised away your body from your spirit so that he only sees you in your spirit. And again, this isn't hyper grace, greasy grace, all of that kind of stuff. It's the grace that Jesus provided. It's the grace that Paul and many of the apostles preached. It's the gospel, the good news. Some people call it the too good to be true news. If it's not good, too good to be true, then it's just regular news. But in Christ is everything. So what I'm asking you to do, especially during this Christmas season and even into the new year, is just to let go. Stop trying to live right. Stop trying to live perfectly and just going, I'm going to focus on who Jesus is, because when I understand who Jesus is, then I understand that he is my life. And so if he's my life, then when I understand who Jesus is, I finally get to know me because he's in me. And then everything else is just walking that out. That's it. That's the Christian walk. That's the revelation of everything.